If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to the book of Nehemiah, chapter number 9. Nehemiah, chapter number 9. I want to, tonight, follow on the heels of Brother Don's messages in the revival meeting. And I don't mind to do that. I almost feel like if Brother Don had the strength, he would have plowed on himself, amen, in the book of Nehemiah. But he called the last message that he preached in the revival meeting this week the aftermath of revival. And in Brother Don's honor, I'm going to call this message tonight the aftermath of revival, part two, because it's just simply looking at some evidences that revival has taken place among God's people. I went to see Brother Ed Dillo last week, and with tears streaming down his face, he said, "Pastor, I'm having revival in here. A man's sick, laying on his back, just praising God for the opportunity to tell others about his Savior." Revival is personal. Amen. You say, "Pastor, how do you have revival?" I believe you have revival just like you get saved, one person at a time. And when a bunch of people that are having revival in their heart gets together, it gets on. Amen. And that's what we need in this day and in this hour. If you'll stand with me for the sake of time, I'm not going to read a lot in the text tonight, but I want to read just a little bit, and then I would like to bring the message, the aftermath of revival. I thought about titling it something different, but I want to do that in honor of Brother Don. Words cannot tell you how much I appreciate that man of God. He is, Brother Rightly Sallin used to say, he's precious. Amen. Brother, that's how Brother Rightly pronounced the word precious. He'd say precious. Amen. And boy, I tell you, when he got to talking about Jesus, Brother Ralph, and telling how precious he was, you know he was precious to him. Say amen. The Bible said in chapter 9 and verse 1, "Now on the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting and with sackcloth and earth upon them." Y'all know what that means, don't you? It means they weren't full of pride. They were full of humility. As Sister Tanita sang about all he's done, that ought to humble us, amen. If you and I had what we deserved tonight, the flames of hell would already be licking at us. Amen. I ain't going there. The primitive sings the song, "The only fire I'll ever feel is burning in my heart tonight." Amen. Amen. The Bible said in verse number 2, "And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers, and they stood up in their place, and they read in the book of the law the Lord their God 1/4 part of the day, and another 1/4 part of the day they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God. Then stood up upon the stairs the Levites, Jeshua and Bani and Kadmiel and Shabaniah and George and Henry," that's what I'd like to say, "and Bunani and Sherebiah and Bani and Chenina, and they cried with a loud voice unto the Lord their God." Whatever happened to that? Whatever happened to people not being ashamed to cry out to God? I've heard people cry out to God in their prayer request. I can remember mothers standing and said, "Oh God, we need you. We need you. Save my baby." Amen. I can remember fathers doing the same. The Word of God said, "Then the Levites, Jeshua and Kadmiel and Bani and Hasbaniah and Sherebiah and Hodijah and Shabaniah and Pethahiah said, stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever. And blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. You can be seated. Would you pray for us tonight and pray with us? Father, I want to thank you tonight for the precious word of God. Thank you for you people, Lord, that have gathered here tonight. Lord, I pray that you would bless those that have come this way. Father, I pray you'll deal in hearts of those, our Father, that some way find it difficult to be faithful to the house of God. I pray, Lord Jesus, that every one of our people will be able to stand before you one day and hear you say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. Lord, just keep speaking to us and helping us along the way. We'll give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Brother Don touched on a couple of these things, so I'm going to just touch on them because they're in the text and move on. But when there's revival among God's people, the first thing I'll say to you tonight, there is a return to the Scripture. The Word of God said they stood up and they read in the book of the law 1/4 part of the day. I had to do a little research on that last week. When I think about 1/4 part of the day, if you think about a 24-hour day, that's 6 hours. But that would not be correct in the text. The Jewish day was 12 hours and the night was 12 hours. So in them reading in the book of the law 1/4 part of the day, they read in the Bible for 3 hours. Now, I dare say there's not many of us that's ever took a Bible and sat down with it for 3 hours consecutively or listened to someone read it for 3 hours consecutively. But that's what they did. They were so excited that they found the book. They were so excited, beloved, that they could return, amen, and get back to that place of blessing. I believe, listen, I don't believe there's any real blessing apart from the book. I believe God wants us to be a people of the book. Say amen. And the Word of God said to, they read in the book of the law 1/4 part of the day. Now, if we were to read the Bible for 3 hours consecutively, I mean seriously, we might find ourselves needing to confess something. Maybe something to God. Maybe something to someone else. But the Word of God said here they're assembled with fasting, they're assembled with sackcloth and earth upon them. Not only was there a return to the Scripture, but secondly, there was a repentance of sin. Beloved, we're living in a time in our lives. Listen to me. I believe this. Most of God's people do not realize that repentance is not only for the sinner. These are God's people. This is not the barroom crowd. Say amen. When God said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked way. He wasn't talking to the barroom crowd. He wasn't talking to the house of ill repute down the street. He was talking to his people. There's a confession of sin. I'm so afraid that many times in our lives, we overlook what God said is iniquity, what God said is sin. We've got our own idea about what sin is. But God had this idea. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. The Bible said these 6 things that the Lord God hate, yea, 7 are an abomination unto him. And the first one is a proud look. And the last one was he that soweth discord among the brethren. The Bible talks about that unforgiving spirit, how that it grieves the Spirit of God. Amen. And God said that we ought to forgive one another, as even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us. So there's lots of area there that you could preach on tonight. But there was a return to the Scripture, and there's a repentance of sin. I believe when we return to the Scripture, genuinely, there'll be a repentance of sin. Beloved, I believe tonight that the Bible teaches that the Spirit of God is the one that discerns the Word of God. I believe some reason some people read the Bible and they don't get anything out of it is because, beloved, there's something blocking the channel with the Holy Spirit of the living God. God said, if you regard iniquity in your heart, He said He's not going to hear us, amen. But if we just bow our heads, amen, with clean hands and a clean heart, and say, oh God, would you open this book to me? Would you show me? You see, that's what David did when he said, search me, oh God, and try me, and see if there be any wicked way in me. He wasn't going down to the bar room, but David realized, beloved, how much trouble he got in when he got in the flesh, and he didn't want to go back there to the point where he asked God to reveal to him even his secret faults. Amen. Every child of God deals with something. What is a struggle for one person is no struggle at all for another, but that person struggles. Every child of God struggles with something. I promise you that. We're in this world, and we're in this body, and we'll struggle with something until we get out of this world and get out of this body. But aren't you glad there's one that can help us win the struggle? There's one that can give us victory in the Lord Jesus. Amen. So in the aftermath of revival, I see a return to the Scripture. I see a repentance of sin. But I want to show you this tonight. This is, I think it's awesome. There's a remembrance of the Savior. You see, over and over and over, if you'll read the book of Psalms especially, the Bible will tell you they forgot God. They forgot God. Somebody said, well, I don't understand why you have to have revival every year. I sold a man from Knoxville, Tennessee. He's a deacon in the church. I sold him a barrel for a rifle last week. I met him in Bean Station and sold it to him. And I was telling him about the revival and what Brother Don was preaching. He said, I wish we could have a revival. You see, sometimes we just take for granted, say amen. I don't know what he meant by that. I don't know if they have a pastor that don't believe in revival. I don't know if they won't attend a revival. I don't know. And beloved, I'll say this. In our revival, sometimes there's more visitors than there is us. But that's not going to keep us from having revival. Amen. 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 It hadn't ought to be that way. No, sir. But I'm going to tell you something. The old preacher said, I don't know why you want to have them revivals every year. He said, I don't know why you want to take a bath every day either. I tell you why we need a revival. Because we're not there yet. We're not home yet. We still get dirty in this whole sinful world we live in. We need God, amen, to set our barley field on fire every once in a while. Shake us down on the inside that we might repent of our sin, that we might return to the Scripture, that we might remember the Savior that set us free. I want to give you some things tonight. Watch this. First of all, there was a remembrance of His person. Look in verse number 6. Thou, even Thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their hosts, the earth and all things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein. Thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth Thee. You say, Pastor, how can a person have a revival just remembering who God is? Let me tell you something right now. If you'll remember who is, you'll know that He can handle your problem, whatever it is. Say amen. He can handle whatever it is that you need. And that I need. He's the one that made the heavens and the earth. And beloved, He can handle that's going on in our life. We need to remember His person. Turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles quickly to Psalm 77. Let me just show you a little text here that I think will be a blessing to you tonight. This was one of Brother Brian's favorite texts. The Bible said in Psalm 77, I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and He gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I will tell you something, beloved. When you get so troubled, you can't speak. You're troubled. I've seen ladies, Sister Carol, and men both. Their bottom lip just quivered up and down. They couldn't say a word. Because they were so burdened and so broken over what was going on in their family or over maybe some loss or maybe some news, beloved, that was horrible as far as this world goes. And watch what the Bible said.
The Bible said in verse number 10, and I said, this is my infirmity. Here's that word. Y'all know I love this word in the Bible. But the psalmist up to this time, he's got his eyes on the trouble. But he's fixing to get his eyes off of the trouble and get them on the one that can fix the trouble. Watch what the Bible said. He said here, my infirmity, this is my infirmity, but I will remember, that's the key word, the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember the wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy works and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? I'm telling you, beloved, there's a time in your life when you don't need to be running away from the house of God. You need to be running to the house of God.
Amen.
If we're not careful, every one of us in this building probably knows somebody that's not in church. One lady comes to my mind that told me with her mouth, I'm mad at God. I remember what I said to her. I said, it'd be a lot easier to deal with if you were mad at me. People think God has not dealt them a fair deck. Say amen. I promise you this, when we get home, we're going to find out something. He never made a mistake. I believe it was Abraham when he was dealing with God over Sodom, said, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? He's never done wrong. He never knows how to do anything but right. His way is perfect. Say amen. And so the aftermath of revival, there's a return to the Scripture. And there's a repentance of sin. There's a remembrance of the Savior. Not only do we remember His person in verse number 6, but we remember His power. Look at verse number 10. And showed signs and wonders upon Pharaoh and all his servants and all the people of the land. For thou knewest that thou dealt proudly against them. So didst thou get thee a name as it is this day. Thou didst divide the sea. You say, Pastor, what's going on here? They're recalling. They're reminiscing. They're remembering how good God has been to them in the past. And you know what's happening? They're having revival in their hearts and in their lives. Remember His power. Look at His presence. Look at verse 12. Moreover, thou leddest them in the day by a cloudy pillar, and in the night by a pillar of fire, to give them light in the way wherein they should go. Beloved, we need to thank God for His presence. Amen. Thank God thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Amen. That's what the psalmist David said. And I believe with all of my heart, when we remember God, it is part of that evidence of revival. Look at His provision. The Bible said in verse number 15, and thou gavest them bread from heaven for their hunger, and broughtest forth water for them out of the rock for their thirst, and promised them that they should go in and possess the land which thou hast sworn to give them. Let me say something to you tonight you may not understand. I didn't plan on saying it. I believe it's easier to be spiritual when you're poor. You say, Pastor, I don't know why you would say that. I'm going to tell you something. I don't know how many times in my life when I had an end over here and an end over here, and I had no earthly idea how those two ends were going to meet. And I don't know how many times in my life, Brother Steve, when I had that situation in my life, all I could do is go back and recall the last time that there was an end over here and an end over here. You say, what happened? It's not what happened, it's who happened. My Heavenly Father met the need. Say amen. I believe with all of my heart that the provision can be a blessing, but I believe it can also hinder us. There are people sitting in this room tonight that remember what it was to live from paycheck to paycheck. Would somebody say amen? My grandfather did not like beef. He hated it. He lived on the farm where they raised cattle. That's what he did for a living. But he despised beef. But he loved pork. Loved it. He wasn't a Jew. That's for sure. One day, My grandmother said to him, Brother Junior, said, honey, that's the last of the meat for breakfast. That's the last of the meat. The last of it. They like that good tenderloin. I'm making somebody hungry. How many of you ever eat any old-fashioned sausage? Amen. Not this stuff you buy out of the freezer in the grocery store. How many of you ever eat any canned sausage where you got it out, you scooped it out of a can? Honey, you ain't eating until you had some of that between your teeth. My grandfather goes out and opens the door. That old car that somebody gave him. Paid the insurance, paid the tags on it. Said, John, we don't know why we're doing this. Grandpa said, I know why you're doing it. Because he'd been praying, oh God, how long do you want me to walk through these revivals? How long do you want me to ford that river? But in that car that somebody gave him, somebody laid a big old ham. The whole ham. That's what happened to Abram when he started tithing. God gave him some ham, called him Abraham. Amen. You say, Pastor, sometimes, beloved, when we're having revival, it's because we can just go back, Sister Jade, and remember. Just go back and remember. Go back and recall the goodness of God in our lives. The provision. I want you to see something here. Not only do you see the Savior manifested in verse number 6 and these other verses I've told you about, manifested through His person, manifested through His power, manifested through His presence, and manifested in His provision. But you see the Savior's mercy. I tell you, I about shouted this afternoon when I began to read this. I had missed this. And I began to circle some things. Let me show you something. Do y'all know that the children of Israel is a lot like we are? Up and down and in and out. How many knows what I just said? Up and down and in and out. Watch what the Word of God said. In verse number 18, yea, when they had made them a molten calf, after God had done all of this for them, Moses is up on the mountain getting the law of God, and Aaron and them's down there grinding up the earrings and the rings and all of that gold, and they're making an idol God. That's hard to believe, ain't it? You know, Moses must have been quite a man of God. God got angry. Boy, I thank God for men like Moses that'll intercede. That, oh God, take my life. Don't take theirs. Watch what he said here. And when they had made them a molten calf and said, this is thy God that brought thee up out of Egypt and had wrought great provocations. Yet thou in thy, would you underline those next two words? Say them with me, would you? Manifold mercies. You know when a man's having a revival? When he realizes he's in a place where he don't deserve to be. But it's because of the mercy of God that you are where you are. And it's because of the mercy of God. The Bible said, yet thou in thy manifold mercies, you forsook them not in the wilderness. The pillar of the cloud departed not from them by day and to lead them in the way. Neither the pillar of fire by night to show them light, the way wherein they should go. I'm telling you, if I was God and God was me, there was times I would have said, it's enough. But God is a merciful God. And God was merciful with the children of Israel. We now need to remember not only the Savior as He's manifested, but His mercy. Look down in verse number 26. Nevertheless, they were disobedient and rebelled against thee and cast the law behind their backs and slew the prophets which testified against them to turn to thee. And they wrought great provocation. You see what they're doing here? They're having revival and they're remembering their badness and remembering His goodness. They're remembering that they're unworthy, but they're serving a God that's merciful. Watch this now. Therefore thou deliverest them into the hand of their enemies who vex them. And in the time of their trouble, when they cried unto thee, thou heardest them from heaven. And according to thy, what's in two words? Manifold mercies. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. You can shine your halo if you want to, but if every one of us would be honest, We're only sitting here tonight because there's a merciful God sitting on the mercy seat in heaven. Say amen. The blood has been sprinkled and God has been able to forgive us and help us and wash us over and over and over again. Go on down to verse number 28. But they had rest. After they had rest, they did evil again before thee. Therefore leftest thou them in the hand of their enemies, so that they had dominion over them. And when they returned, they cried unto thee. Thou heardest them from heaven. And many times didst thou deliver them according to thy, what? Mercies. 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 I believe it's the book of Lamentations. Said his compassions fail not. They're new every morning. God has mercy on his people. Look at verse 31. Nevertheless, for thy great mercy's sake, thou didst not utterly consume them, nor forsake them. For thou art a gracious and a merciful God. We're living in a generation today who wants to talk about my rights. I got a right to do this, and I got a right to do that. I'm going to tell you something tonight. You and I can be glad that we're serving a gracious and a merciful God. Because he has a right to punish us. Say amen. And yet God, in his mercy, they're remembering. There's a return to the Scripture. There's a repentance of sin. There's a remembrance of the Savior. And I'll give you this and I'm through. Don't get too excited. It'll take a minute or two. I fibbed again. I told him this morning, Brother Steve, you know Sawyer, 5 years old. When we were on that trail, I passed him up when I said I wouldn't. I said, he said, Papa, you lied. I said, no, I didn't, son. I just fibbed. He said, same thing as a lie. Yeah, leave it up to Sawyer. Amen. Them kids will tell you that you're older than dirt. Especially when Pastor gets to helping them. Amen. He's never forgot that, has he, Brother Larry? You won't either. Amen. And you won't let me either, long as I'm living, amen. Let me show you this last thing. Not only is there a return to the Scripture and they repented of their sin, they remembered the Savior, but I want you to see the revival of the saints. I want you to see it here. We'll be in different little places here the rest of the book of Nehemiah. I want to show you this, a couple things quickly. Number one, there's a revival and it's seen in their presence in the house of God. Watch what the Bible said in verse number 39. Let me ask you a question tonight. Are you here because you want to be? Or are you here because you have to be? There's a big difference. Have you ever had a job where you went in because you had to? You had obligations, you had bills, you had a family. Have you ever had a job where you just couldn't wait to get there? I actually have. I've worked for some good people in my life. Last man I worked for on a public job, well, no, he wasn't the last. It was a doctor in between churches I worked for was the last one. But the last man that I worked for before that, he said, Rick, as long as I'm living, if you ever need a job, you got one. And to be honest with you, I'd go back and work for him in a heartbeat. Amen. If y'all just fire me, that's all you'd have to do. I'd go back and work for him. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? I'm talking about, beloved, here in the Word of God, there's a revival of the saints. And it's seen in their presence in the house of God. Notice what he said in verse 39 of chapter 10. For the children of Israel and the children of Levi shall bring the offering of the corn and the new wine and the oil of the chambers, where are the vessels of the sanctuary and the priests that minister, the porters and the singers. And the word of God said, and we will not forsake the house of our God. The Bible said in the book of Hebrews, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. Evidently, Brother Stephen, in the first century, some had already given up on the house of God. Already given up on the house of God. Somebody said, well, you just use God as a crutch. Ain't more than a crutch. He's holding me up. Amen. He's the only thing holding this thing together. Say amen. You say, Pastor, do you need the church? I do. I said, I do. You know what the church is? It's a picture of the bride of Christ.
Amen.
I need the church. I believe with all of my heart, when there's real revival, we will not forsake the house of our God. It's one thing to be providentially hindered. And that happens many times. Sickness or the job, the family. Let me just say something that's in my heart tonight. It's in my heart. I'm going to go ahead and say it. During a revival meeting, I understand that children have to go to school. But I'm going to say what I don't understand. I don't understand why 5 or 6 people in a family have to stay home every night because the children have to go to school. There could be some rotating going on there. Mama come one night, Daddy come one night, Mama all come. Say amen! The whole family don't have to come home, stay home because somebody's got a runny nose. It's the truth. I don't understand that. I do understand, beloved, listen, that we get tired. I'm going to give you something in order to make you ashamed of yourself. There ain't a man in this building that was more tired than the man that stood in this pulpit and sat on a chair last week to preach us the Word of God. That second night, Brother Don told me, he said, the first night, he said, Pastor, when you done that for me, he said, I sat on it like you're supposed to. That second night, he was trying to be one of them cool TV preachers. He'd just leaning against it, Brother Steve, kind of halfway sitting and halfway, his legs went to sleep. I was sitting over here in emotion, come here, we got done. He said, my legs are asleep. I felt so sorry for him. That hurts, amen. It don't hurt when they're asleep. It hurts when the feeling starts coming back in them. I got a text on Wednesday. I think I'll just stand tonight, Pastor. Boy, did he stand. Not going to forsake the house of God. There's revival among saints. It's seen in their presence in the house of God. Secondly, it's seen in their praise in the house of God. Look at chapter 9. Back to chapter 9, verse number 5. The Bible said to stand up. Bless the Lord your God forever and ever. Blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. Look at chapter 12, verse number 27 real quickly. The Bible said the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought the Levites out of all their places. The dedication, gladness, thanksgiving, singing, cymbals, psalteries, and harps. What are they doing? They're praising God. Look at verse 43 quickly. Also that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced. Watch this now. They rejoiced for God had made them rejoice. What's those next two words? With what? Not just joy. Great joy. Watch this. The wives also and the children rejoiced so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard afar off. Wouldn't it be wonderful if there was such rejoicing going on this hill that people could hear afar off? You say, Pastor, are you fussing at us? Not at all. I'm telling you, when there's a real revival, there'll be some aftermath. There'll be some things happening among the people of God that wasn't happening before that real revival. There'll be a return to the Scripture. There'll be a repentance of sin. There'll be a remembrance of the Savior. And there'll be a revival among the saints of God. It's seen in the presence of the house of God. It's seen in their praise in the house of God. And I want to give you this, and I'm done. In more ways than one. I've missed this, Brother Steve. I've preached through the big book of Nehemiah, and I've missed this. It's seen in the perseverance of the man of God, Nehemiah. Let me show you what I mean. Look at it with me, if you will, over in chapter number 13. The Bible said in verse number 1 of chapter number 13, on that day they read the book of Moses and the audience of the people. Therein was found written that the Ammonite and the Moabite should not come into the congregation of God forever. because they met not the children of Israel with bread and with water, but hired Balaam against them, that he should curse them. Howbeit our God turned the curse into a blessing. Now it came to pass, when they had heard the law, that they separated from Israel all the mixed multitude. And here's the man of God. Watch this now. He's not tickling ears. He's saying, listen, God said we're not supposed to be mixing and mingling with these people. So he's got a problem to deal with, and he deals with it. Watch this. Go on over in chapter number 13 with me. Chapter number 13. Let's look at this together. Look at verse 7. And I came to Jerusalem and understood of the evil that Eliashib did for, who's that next guy? I didn't realize, Brother Steve, that Sanballat and Tobiah are in the last chapter. I knew there's over there in them other chapters. But you see, the man of God is still having to deal with these two fellas in the last chapter. And God has given revival, and there's perseverance in the man of God's heart. He's still not coming down. Why should the work cease while I come down? Watch this now. In preparing the chamber and the courts of the house of God, and it grieved me sore. Therefore I cast forth all the household stuff of Tobiah out of the chamber. Then I commanded that they cleanse the chambers. And thither brought I again the vessels of the house of God with the meat offering and with the frankincense. I'm telling you, beloved, just because you have revival don't mean anything's going to have to be dealt with. But the man of God's going on. He's persevering. Watch what the Bible said in verse 10. And I perceived that the portions of the Levites had not been given them, for the Levites and the singers, and they did work, and there fled one, everyone into his to his field. Then contended I with their rulers and said, why is the house of God forsaken? And I gathered them together, and I set them in their place. Then brought all Judah the tithe of the corn and the new wine and the oil into the treasures. He's dealing with another problem. You say, Pastor, why can't we get rid of all the problems in the church? We can. But it would require getting rid of all the people and the pastor. As long as we're here, there are going to be problems. But what I'm trying to get you to see is there's a man of God. It's got a backbone with a rod of steel in it. It's just going to stand up and do what's right. Verse 15. In those days saw I in Judah some treading the wine presses on the Sabbath. They weren't supposed to be doing that, Brother Steve. And you know what? Nehemiah didn't just turn his head and say, well, I didn't see that. Nope, he dealt with it. I'll tell you something tonight. Let me word it like this. I've never sat under a man of God that I didn't appreciate dealing with things in my life that needed to be dealt with. I've never one time been mad at a preacher in my life. I've sat under some preaching where I thought a man was in the flesh. Are you listening to me? Somebody say amen. Amen. Yeah. I'm going to tell you something right now. God never told a man of God to say to the sheep, you look just as good going as you do coming. You say whatever you want to. God didn't tell him to say that. Amen. But I'll tell you, God will tell a man of God to say a lot of things. Beloved, it'll set your barley field on fire. And instead of griping and complaining, we ought to say, thank God! There's a Bible that can get to my heart and a message from the Lord. Look at verse 23. I'm almost done. In those days also I saw the Jews had married wives of Ashdod and Ammon and Moab. And their children spake half the speech of Ashdod, and could not speak in the Jews' language, but according to the language of each people. And I contended with them, cursed them, and smote certain of them, and plucked off their hair, and made them swear by God, saying, ye shall not give your daughters unto their sons, nor take their daughters unto your sons for yourselves, And we're living in a day when somebody will get mad at the preacher for telling you that your daughter shouldn't be dating somebody that's lost, or your son should not be dating somebody that's lost, let alone marrying them. I'll say this. You're looking at a pastor that refuses to marry a lost person to a saved person, knowing it. They can lie to me, and that's on them. That's not on me. But if one of them's saved and one of them's lost, they can go to the courthouse or go somewhere else. There's a lot of preachers that ain't got no convictions. They get married down there. It ain't going to happen here. You say, Pastor, why? Because the Bible said not to be unequally yoked together. You say, why did you even mention that? I'll tell you why. Because we're not dealing with Ammonites and Moabites and Ashdod. But the same principle works in our generation. Here is a man that persevered, problem after problem after problem. He just kept plowing. He wouldn't back up. He wouldn't quit. That reminds you of a fellow by the name of Jack Sturgill, don't it? I've heard some of the stories, Brother Houston, how that some of the men, it wasn't nothing but a thorn in his side. You say, what old Brother Jack do? I'll tell you what he did. He got him some salve. Y'all getting this? He rubbed it on that thorn. And he come back in here and preach the Word of God. Amen. Am I right or am I wrong? I've listened to the tapes. Not all of them, but some of them. Thanks to Brother Steve, he gave them to me. That man of God wasn't afraid. And thank God for men of God that aren't afraid, that'll persevere. Watch this now. Verse 28. One of the sons of Joiada, the son of Eliashib, the high priest, was the son-in-law, watch this, to Sanballat, the Horonite. Therefore, watch this, Brother Steve. I chased him. You say, is that in the Bible? Yep. Here's something else in the Bible that we can't get a hold of. Jesus goes in the temple. They're buying and selling doves. They're robbing people. And Jesus gets a hold of the table and flips her upside down. Made him a scourge of small cords. He didn't get up, Brother Mike, and give a little speech and say, would y'all please leave? That ain't what the Bible said. He drove them out of the temple. Amen. That's the God we serve, youngins. He's merciful, yes he is, but he's also a God of judgment. He's a God, beloved, listen, you step on his mercy and step on his mercy and step on his mercy. There'll come a day when God will speak in judgment. Remember them, oh my God, because they have defiled the priesthood, the covenant of the priesthood and of the Levites. Thus cleanse thy them from all the strangers, and appointed the wards of the priests and the Levites, everyone in his business. I'm showing you something here. Watch this now. This is coming from your pastor's heart. And for the wood offering at times appointed, and for the first fruits. It's all said and done now, Brother Steve. Here's what Nehemiah said. Remember me, oh my God, for good. Remember me, oh my God, for good. Say that with me. Remember me, oh my God, for good. Thank God he had that perseverance. I could go back and recap the outline. I'll save you the time. God bless you. Thank you for listening.